Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Tuesday Night Jaw. It's another Tuesday Night Jaw meets with me, Jim Smallman, having a chat with the wonderful up-and-coming wrestler, Chris Ridgway. Went and had a chat with him this afternoon. He's a smashing lad. There's a good natter, so you can hear that in a second. Before I get to all that, usual plugs. You might have heard, Progress did a really big show at Brixton. It's now available to watch on Demand Progress. So demand-progress.com. And you can watch the show, indeed all of our shows, for the princely sum of around £5 a month, dependent on the current conversion rate from US dollars. So do that. It's a good show. I think it lives up to the hype. I would. It's my company. I am biased. But yeah, demand-progress.com to see that, and all Progress's shows. Progresswrestling.com to buy tickets for any of our upcoming shows. Indeed, buy a season ticket, should you want the season ticket for all our Camden shows from Thursday this week when they go on general sale. And comedy-wise, bless you, loads of you have bought me little stand-up special and recommended it to people. That is available via jimsmallman.com/mygirls. jimsmallman.com/mygirls. It'll cost you $5 and you can watch me be funny for about an hour and 15 minutes in a show that means the world to me. So if you get a chance, do please go to my website and download that. I promise you, you will be mildly amused. I'm not very good at selling myself, to be honest. I'm good at doing the hype for wrestling, but less so for my own personal career. jimsmallman.com/mygirls. Obviously, if you want to publicise this little podcast, which is, of course, proudly part of the Distraction Pieces Network, then jimsmallman.com/TNJ is where you can send a friend or colleague of yours for all the links, how to download it, subscribe to it on iTunes, on Android, various means. jimsmallman.com/TNJ. List of all the past episodes are up there as well. I am, of course, at Jim Smallman on Twitter. Use the hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw if you want to get in touch. And I think that's about it. This is a nice chat with Chris Ridgway. He's someone who's been recommended to me a lot in terms of a new name for Progress to have a look at. Surprised to find he's only been wrestling for a couple of years, but he is. He's all over the place. Loads of people will have seen him this past weekend wrestling for Southside. But he's a smashing lad. He was good to talk to. He's got some good stories, especially near the end. Listen out for his injury story. It is a cracker. I'm not going to lie, I am still wincing about it now. So anyway, enjoy this chat. I'll see you at the end just to wrap things up and plug stuff again. All right, ta-ra.
We're rolling. I start every one of these like this. I need to stop doing this.
We're rolling.
It's cool. Like Chamillionaire or Fred Durst. And that's the second time I've done a Chamillionaire and Fred Durst reference today.
I thought it was Chamillionaire. Is it not? I'm quite gangster, and I'm pretty sure it's Camille.
I'm quite gangster. Yeah. all podcast interviews should start with "I'm quite gangster." Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Thank you for inviting me into your kitchen and making me a cup of tea.
You're welcome.
So, what's quite nice about doing this today is I did a shout out the other day saying I need someone who lives within an hour of me to do the podcast because of me childcare duties, and you straight away went, "Oh, I'll do it." And what was quite nice was then seeing how many people favourited this or went, "Oh yeah," because you're someone whose name always comes up whenever people are suggesting names for Progress or just suggesting, yeah, you know, excellent young wrestlers in general. So either you're paying people a lot of money, or you are, as these people say, and an excellent young wrestler. So,
it's the money thing. It's the money thing.
Is it?
Yeah, I just pay people.
You are quite gangster, though.
Yeah, I'm pretty gangster. I've got my connections, so
yeah. So, 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been wrestling?
So I started training. I started training when I was about 17, and then I took time out, and it was like. For a bit, and then I started my first wrestling match where I got, so I counted like from when my first outside booking when I got paid, not on training shows, you know what I mean? So that was 2 years ago in May, that's just gone.
Wow.
So two and like a quarter of a year, so, you know what I mean? Something like that.
See, I think that's interesting that you count it like that, because I do this with comedy all the time. So if you look on people's Twitter handles and they say stand-up comedian, or writer is the one that bugs me the most.
Mm.
I'm a big believer, unless you pay for something, you're not it. And I don't. Yeah. It sounds like you're like that with wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't say you're a wrestler until someone's paying you to be a wrestler.
So yeah, I came from the first time I got a pay packet in my hand. I'm a wrestler now. You know what I mean? Like,
who was the first person to pay you to wrestle for?
Ryan Smile for Pro Wrestling Kingdom. I wrestled Chris Brooks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's actually, that's on YouTube. It's actually all right for like. You know what I mean? Like,
sell it. It's all right.
It was like I'll look back on like stuff now and I'll be like, oh, what was I doing? But like, that's okay. That's fine. Like, I would never. I'd never go up and promote. If they wanted to see something, I would never show them that much, but
yeah,
it's okay, you know what I mean?
It's how long were you training before your first match, though?
So I was on and off for quite a bit. I took quite a lot of time out from training. I started, as everyone did, in the backyard with my friends. But the ring we had was sick, so it was like, we had, it was my friends that made it first, and then I came in. And to bring in the money, didn't they? So I had to put my name on it.
Yeah, quite gangster.
Yeah, pretty fucking gangster. They had tires, so like four big tires.
Yeah,
and wooden pallets, and then I think maybe that was sandwiched with like something else over the top of it. I can't remember what. And then tarpaulin over the top.
Nice.
So it was like a canvas, and you got it. Yeah, it was like about 12 foot corner to corner as well. So it's like kind of the same as like a really small ring that you would take like camp shows and stuff.
Yeah.
But it just had no ropes, and it sucked. It just hurt so much.
It's the backyarding thing. Like I'm slightly too old, so I remember seeing videos of backyarding when I was at uni, and going, "Oh, thank God, I'm a little bit older, because otherwise I would have been doing that stuff."
Right?
Because I loved wrestling so much, there's every chance I would have gone. And I would have gone down the really terrifying hardcore route of just essentially self-harming in front of other people, because that's how my brain is. But I mean, did you ever get properly hurt backyarding?
No, I didn't do a lot. I did like, so I did about, I don't know, maybe like 5, 6, 7 matches and like that. Like, all I was doing, I was just hitting the crossroads because I was a massive Cody Rhodes fan. So it's like everything was just me hitting the crossroads of people wrong, and it's like a really twisted move in it. So like I just like grab them and just throw myself under them so hard, and they're like contorted. I'm like, yeah, it was so good. But obviously, like, I think I hurt people, to be honest. I don't use it anymore. So.
Did you have, if you're ever working a match out, would you go?
Yeah, legit shooting on them with a crossroads.
if you're working a match out with someone, just going, I'm going to hit the crossroads, just any wrestler listening out, run away. Did you have a different ring name when you were backyarding? Because people's backyarding names are often hilarious.
Yes, but I don't know why it was I think it was because my friend liked, we the boss, the promoter of the backyard wrestling was just like, he liked the alliteration CC, so it was Chris still, and it was Chris Cabrera. Not sure why, don't even look slightly Spanish or Italian or anything like that. It just was, and then it was just Chris Ridgway.
So you just went straight in.
Yeah, I was just like, one day I was like, that was weird. I'll just be Chris Ridgway now. And I found that name by, I went on Twitter and there was someone called Summit Ridgway and I was like, I'll do.
It's genuinely
such a boring.
It's one of those names that sounds like it's your real name.
Yeah, no, but my real name is, my shoot name, should I say, is Chris Waring. And that's really crap. Can you imagine someone shouting like, and you know, now hailing from Chris Waring. It's like, to me, that sounds. Boring. Sounds like a working office. Do you know what I mean?
Whereas Ridgeway does sound like you could shoot like, crossroads someone.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like Ridge. It's like harsh. Like Ridge.
Yeah.
And like I've got loads of nicknames off the back of it now. People call me Ridge and Riddy. So that's like marketable, I guess, as well.
Yeah.
So
it works. Yeah. So where did you train?
I trained. First dude who trained us was not a decent dude at all. It was like...
This happens a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah,
whenever you hear any wrestler origin story, it's like, the first person who trained me, he took a load of my money and...
Exactly. It was just like naive and I believed everything he said and I got taught a lot of like bad habits and stuff like that. And then I took loads of time out. But then also Johnny Moss trained me as well.
So who is
like,
great.
Yes, he's like one of the best ever. Literally, like trainers and wrestlers, he's unbelievable.
I've only ever met Johnny once, and it was at a WWE show, and I only briefly got introduced to him, and he will have had no idea who I am or anything like that. I just got introduced to him.
Oh, he's great.
And the first thing I thought was, oh my God, he's fucking massive.
No, he's absolutely
he's huge.
He's absolutely
lovely fella. Yeah, smashing bloke.
Really good. And he can go as well. Like, he's not, like, his cardio's insane as well. But like, he taught me like the basics and stuff like that really, really well. And I go back up to his every now and then still. In Whitehaven. A little plug for him there as well for anybody wanting to get into wrestling, contact Johnny Moss, go to his school. Do you know what I mean? Because he's like, he's the man. He's the one of the guys we definitely want to learn from.
Well, also as well, he's got a tremendous reputation.
Yes.
And because I remember hearing about the reputation about his training school and then realising, because it is kind of, to me, it's in the middle of nowhere because it's in Cumbria, isn't it?
So it's in Whitehaven. It's tucked away out of the way, but it's a big unit thing with a... big ring in it, and it's got all the old school like posters from like World of Sport, like everywhere all over the thing.
I love stuff like that.
Yeah, right. It looks awesome. I've got a picture on my phone.
That's what Joel from Suplex's office looks
oh,
like.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, loads of posters and stuff because he collects them.
That's cool.
And because I've seen Johnny Moss wrestle since, you know, and he's great.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? But knowing that
can do it all.
He seems so keen to train people in the right way.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what you want when someone's training. You want someone to... and this is the thing, is like in this country, I think like Johnny Moss is a big name to anyone who knows a bit about British wrestling, you're going to know who he is.
Yeah.
But globally, you're not necessarily going to necessarily know his
yeah,
name.
No, but, it's a shame.
But yeah. You probably know, if you know anything about wrestling, that he's a good trainer.
Yeah.
And sometimes, to be a good trainer, you don't necessarily need to be... the biggest name in the world. Like an example I'd use would be like Shawn Michaels, and everyone knows Shawn Michaels had a wrestling school for a bit, but everyone also now knows that he didn't really do a lot of the training. His name was attached to it in the same way that, you know, ever since Stu Hart died, the Hart Dungeon's name, it's been in name only more than anything else.
Absolutely.
But then you've got people like Johnny Moss and Lance Storm as well, is someone else I'd use, who people who are good wrestlers, really really solid, really really good at what they do, but not necessarily the biggest stars ever, but you know that they're good trainers. And I think that's a reputation that Johnny Moss has got now from, you know, he's turned out loads of people, hasn't he? So you know.
Yeah. After that, it was, he helped me with the basics, and then I wrestled Chris Travis on a training show, and he just sort of took me under his wing a bit, and we just became like friends as well. And then we exchanged numbers and we just like kept in touch. And he was like always pushing at places. Oh, come and train here, come and train. So like I went and just trained at like different places as well.
Which is what Trav was like.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He really, really was. Took with a lot of people. You know, he took a lot of dudes under his wing because geez, Trav, you know, he's selfless.
But that's how it should be. Like I did the same in new comics. Like if a comedian comes up to me and they're brand new and they go, "Can you watch my set?" I'll go, "Yeah," because people did that for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people will have done that for Trav.
Yeah.
And that's the right way to be. You know, because. I always think as well, if you're trying to pass on a bit of knowledge, then you're still learning yourself rather than, you know, and now you'll do exactly the same thing.
Yes, absolutely. So
18-year-old comes to you and says, "Can you watch my match?" You'll go,
absolutely.
No, I think that's it's the right way to be. I think it's sort of Trav's reputation as a nice bloke. And I always said it was, you know, my son's middle name is Travis after him. You know, he's a genuinely good mate. But what was weird was he didn't wrestle for Progress very much, not loads, because he got sick and he was, you know, he was in our tag division for a bit. I mean, his last ever match was for us.
Yes.
But I was more mates with him because whenever I did comedy at Sheffield, he'd go, "Do you want to hang out?" I'd be like, "Yeah," because he's just the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it fills me full of joy knowing he's always been like that with wrestlers as well. Because,
yeah. Yeah, he was. He just used to just text all the time and just he'd like. It was like Carp Wednesdays, is that right? On the in Sheffield, Carp yeah. Wednesdays, that thing. I was joking with Bubblegum in the car, Bubblegum Pip, Philip, Mad Phil, calling Mad Phil, he hates that. I was joking with him because he used to just like drunk text, oh, I'm smashed. Or like, he'd like tell me about, oh, I should see this girl. I'm like, I'm trying to go to sleep. It's like 1 a.m. on a Wednesday.
Like, nearly all my texts from Trav would always be involving his accumulator at the weekend.
Oh, right, yeah,
and
yeah.
What football teams he'd bet on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a few times he actually went to watch football with me, which was always quite nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, whenever I was gigging in Sheffield, just because he loved comedy, so I'd always just invite him along.
That's cool.
And he'd come along, and sadly, one of the reasons he could come along most of the time was because he was poorly.
Yes.
But yeah, it was quite nice because last week it was Chris Travis Day, wasn't it?
And yeah.
Everyone, yeah. It was really nice seeing the entire, not just the British wrestling community, but the wrestling community as a whole. Because obviously, a lot of people in America, you know, really had a lot of time for him. It was nice, you know, seeing, you know, Kevin Owens has tweeted about him in the past and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's nice that he had that effect for people, even if he only wrestled on the once when they were just visiting. He still had that positive effect.
Yeah, he did.
You know, it's a nice way to. I think it's a. Someone like him as a role model as well is a nice way to approach. Is a nice way to approach wrestling because if you try and have a smile on your face and be nice to people, as a rule, more people are probably going to book you anyway, aren't they? Rather than you being surly and sat in the corner of a room.
You want the nicest things backstage as well. You know what I mean? Like it's about like bringing up backstage, like everyone having like a. If you're a positive backstage, you're going to go out there and have some fun as well.
Yeah,
we have fun. The fab crowd have fun. Yeah.
That's the. It's the backstage attitude I always try and have at our shows is just, I want everyone to get on.
Yeah.
If we don't all get on, then I don't want... The person who's not getting on with people, I don't really want them there.
Yeah.
And it helps with us because we're not really sort of import heavy. It means that it does tend to be the same people at most shows. So they do all form a bit of a bond and have a bit of a laugh. Just a
bunch of mates sort of thing.
Well, because when you get to a point where you're doing something like Brixton, it's 2,500 people. I want everyone to feel rewarded for their hard work.
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
We can't do a show like that if we haven't had 4.5 years of people working their asses off for us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And absolutely.
So, I mean, with you only being 23 now, which is terrifying. I am 15 years older than you.
You don't look it, I may add.
Thanks.
Actually.
I do get that a lot. You know, the reason behind it, I'll tell you, Chris, the reason behind it.
Go on then.
I've not done a proper day's work since I was 30 years old. because comedy is not a job. I drive a lot, and then I get to dick around. I get to dick around doing comedy, dick around doing wrestling, dick around doing voiceover, and I'll be honest... it doesn't tend to age you very much, whereas I think if I still, I'd have more frown lines if I think if I did a poor job. I've just been a clown for too long, and I think it's the same with wrestlers. Like I think wrestlers fall into two camps. Like there's wrestlers who always look young, so I'd include like Jack Gallagher in this, for example.
Yeah.
Like I always think he's a lot younger than he is.
Yeah, he's actually 83 years old.
He is 83 years old. All them facts I say in the ring about like wrestling Ken and Nagasaki and stuff, completely true. He wrestled George Hackenschmidt in 1912. But there's certain guys who always look younger. And then there's some guys who will always look way, way, way older.
Yeah,
and I think
it's
down to how much, whether you've used fake tan or an actual sunbed as to how old you actually look.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point, actually. I noticed it.
Yeah. But the fake tan thing, I think that's moving. Like, the first time we ever did a show, it was the first time I'd ever been backstage at a show.
Yeah.
I remember watching Marty Scurll and Zack Sabre Jr. applying fake tan to each other.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I wasn't expecting this. but I think the fake tan thing's going. Like, you're not a particularly orange man, are you?
No, but I do tan fakely. I'm scared of small spaces. I don't want to go into sunbed.
That makes sense. I've been on one once. I've been on one once, and it was to get a. Me and my wife were going, "Oh, this is Jamaica," and she went, "Do you tan?" And I went, "Yeah." I'm like, "I've got Italian heritage. I tan pretty well." And she went, "But I don't because the tattoos and the nocturnal lifestyle. I don't go out in the sun very much." She went, you should probably get like a base tan first. And because we live in North Wales and every third business is a tanning salon, I went and studied one for like 5 minutes. It's the worst 5 minutes of my life.
Yeah, I get bored and distracted easy as well. I've got like the attention span of a something that doesn't have a very good attention span. Yeah. I don't know.
I like that you started that sentence and then went, I've lost interest in this sentence.
That's how good my attention span is. Like, but I couldn't sit, I couldn't lie down or sit down for 3 minutes, not do anything in a small space. I just freak out. So, just fit down.
This is what I love. The whole attention span thing is something I love about wrestling, because I think, and I always talk about the parallels between comedy and wrestling, but like, no one who does comedy is particularly sane. It's a daft thing. It's a daft thing to want to stand on stage and have the approval of people laughing at you.
Yeah.
And I think wrestling is, I think everyone who's gone, I'm going to become a wrestler, was probably a little bit odd as a kid.
Oh yeah, God, yeah.
and I mean that in the part, because people who are odd as kids turn out to be the coolest adults. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah,
you know, my daughter's quite odd. She's going to grow up to be an awesome adult, and I love her more because she's a bit weird. And I think, and I do think that's the case with wrestlers. I always look at it and think back to when I was at school and was desperate to be a wrestler.
Yeah.
That I was definitely the weirdest kid in my school by a long way. I mean, what was it? I mean, because you mentioned before you were a big Cody Rhodes fan, which illustrates how much younger you are than me. Because Cody Rhodes has only been around since I've definitely been a grown up and had a child. So, can you remember when you got into wrestling?
I didn't have friends that watched it. I've got my mum's quite young, and she watched it as a fan, and I just started watching it as well. And then she just stopped, and I just carried on watching it. But like, I didn't have friends in school that also watched it with me, so I just watched it by myself. I didn't really want to tell my friends because they were all like, football, rugby, and I was never really bothered about that sort of stuff. So I was like, just watch wrestling, just kept it to myself, kind of. Do you know what I mean? So I didn't really.
Yeah. I do find as well, I mean, I like football, and we've used football references in progress shows and stuff like that. But I'm talking to a couple of wrestlers about this. I'm always surprised when a wrestler says he likes football.
Yeah, there's
because
not many.
To me, it was a choice that people made when, like, there was no way I was ever going to become a footballer. There was a part of me when I was 12 that thought I could become a wrestler. I mean, the reality is I never would have had a chance. Not dedicated enough to do anything like that.
Okay.
Because I do think there will have been a point when you were in your teens where you went, like your early teens, where you went, oh, I think I'm probably gonna train to be a wrestler, and you have to be dedicated to it.
Yeah.
Like, you have to look after yourself and go to the gym and stuff like that. You can't just go wrestler now. That's not how it works.
I didn't get how you became one. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was never, because back then when I was watching it, everything was like, there was none of this network, obviously. NXT, you never heard of the training going into it, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't really like go on the internet or anything like that, so everything was just DVDs and videos of the actual shows, and that was it. So all I watched was the shows, and then that was it.
Yeah,
you know, never really got to watch much Japan, anything from Japan anyway, till I started training, really.
Yeah,
so I'm like 17, 18 by then.
Did it change your influences, though?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you remember who your favourite wrestler was when you were, say, like 13?
Yeah.
Who was it?
I always like Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho, and all that sort of style of wrestler.
Which is, yeah.
That was like my favourite wrestler as a kid. Like, I always used to like the cool mid-card guys, because they used to like action, fast pace, all that sort of stuff. I was never really massively into main event dudes, because they're always huge, and I was never big as a kid. So I wanted to relate it to the small dudes. But I loved John Cena, and I always have done, even through the period of time where everybody went, oh, John Cena's awful. I was like, yeah, he is. And then like secretly, like, I love you so much, John. his orange t-shirt, like the really bright orange, like 2011, 10 maybe? 2010, I think. Still got that. There's someone kicking in my room.
I've said this a few times, in that when we started Progress, I was a really tedious smart fan.
Right.
And the sort of fan that now vaguely bugs me. And in that, I was always like, I don't understand why I have to cheer. I don't want to cheer for him. I don't want to cheer for John Cena. And that's fine, because I don't have to.
Yeah.
You know. The thing that's made a difference for me is going to watch WWE shows now I'm a promoter and seeing how kids react to him. In that, I watched a four-year-old girl. I was at WWE Newcastle last tour. And watching a four-year-old girl just lose her shit when he came out. He's Superman to her.
Yeah.
And that's so powerful.
Yeah.
And the other thing is going back and watching his body work and going, oh, hang on a minute. He's never really been in a bad match.
No.
If he's in a bad match, it's not his fault.
No.
He's really good and clearly loves it.
Yeah. That's what I say. When was the last time we saw a bad John Cena match? And they go, I'm like, no, there hasn't been one. Because you can't tell me there's been a bad John Cena match. For I couldn't name one now. You know what I mean? He'd have to scour through some stuff.
My favourite WWE match ever is CM Punk.
Yeah, yeah, right.
John Cena. Totally, yeah. And Money in the Bank 2011, which is... I get asked this... The tweet I get the most is, I always talk about matches that I'd show non-wrestling fans to make them like wrestling.
Yes.
And Punk, yeah. Cena is one. And, yeah. And the other one is Ishii Shibata from 2013, where they just kill each other.
Yeah,
for 12
minutes. Yeah, that's about
it. So when you got into... I think it's quite... not because I was... Weirdly, I was a similar age to you when I discovered Japanese wrestling. That's because I was at uni and I started tape trading and stuff. So, how did your sort of influences move on? So, if you went from liking... And I was very much similar to you when I was younger in that I was more interested by the mid-card guys.
Yeah.
So, I remember really liking Mr. Perfect and Ted DiBiase and that in the late 80s, early 90s. They were... And Jake the Snake. And people who were great because... Hulk Hogan never held any interest to me whatsoever.
No.
And, you know, now I can feel relieved about it knowing he's a horrible human being. So, literally the only... He's the only wrestler I ever give grief to. It's because he's a racist. I never liked Hulk Hogan. I kind of like the Ultimate Warrior because there was something about him. But I was never... Whenever I watched a main event feud, I was always interested in... the person feuding, so always like Earthquake and Rick Rude. Okay. And people are like, Earthquake was great. Loved Earthquake. It's not enough fat blokes in wrestling.
You don't hear someone like give Earthquake credit really. You should obviously get it, but you never really.
No, you
do. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, absolutely, but you never hear someone say that. Do you know what I mean?
He managed to make a career out of sitting on people and breaking their ribs.
Ah, brilliant.
It's the dream. Perfect. So was there a point, can you remember who your sort of, when you started training, did your influences change? Because I think Chris Jericho and Chris Benoit, obviously in ring only, are great sort of influences.
because
two of the best wrestlers ever, and responsible for. So, I've been going back and watching a lot of their older stuff. I rewatched the Jericho Shawn Michaels feud recently.
Oh yeah, that's
just so good. But did your influences change? Did you start seeing people in Japan or elsewhere and go, oh god, these guys are good?
You'll surprise absolutely nobody that my first influence like that from Japan was Prince Devitt.
Yeah.
I always used to get the, what's it called? Comparison and stuff like that. Because I didn't used to have like a beard or tattoos and stuff like that. So
actually, now you've pointed that out,
you know what I mean?
Realising facially how much you look like
I get
is genuinely bizarre.
Yeah.
That is really odd. Wow.
It's just morphed into like his face now, but yeah.
And there's worse people you can look like, mate. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's a pretty good looking lad.
But also someone who is in ring work in Japan. I mean, his in ring work in America is great, but his in ring work in Japan was wonderful.
This was back in like Apollo 55.
Yeah.
When he was tagging with Taguchi and stuff like that. So I was watching his stuff with Kenny Omega and Ibushi when he was like a clean baby face and stuff like that. And like, that was like, to me, that was like, oh, that's what I want to do. I want to wrestle like exactly like that. Mm. And ever since then, Japan was the goal for me, and it still is now, is to go and do Japan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's like the main thing in my head is like, I'm always like, I've got these like small goals. I'm like, all right, I want to wrestle this dude. All right, cool, I've wrestled him, now what? I want to wrestle for this promotion. All right, cool, now I'll wrestle for them, now what? But like, the whole, behind it all is Japan.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But yeah, it was, let's say like, Taguchi, Devitt, Kenny Omega, and then I used to watch a lot of ROH as well.
Yeah,
and I always liked the guys like Roderick Strong and stuff like that as well. Again, it was always like the guys that could put on like a 15-minute non-stop. Do you know that sort of match? I think that's the sort of style I was trying. That's what I do now. Mm. You know, so that's the sort of stuff I used to love watching, and that's what I still love.
It's always like, it's on your Twitter feed. You describe yourself as a junior heavyweight. Which is
a very
Japanese influence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because cruiserweight to the Mexican and American.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And whenever I see stuff like that, I'm like, oh, I know what he's watching. That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the genuine sort of goal for you
is to
get there. I mean,
absolutely.
I think, luckily with British wrestling the way it is, probably the best time ever to have that ambition and have that drive to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you set yourself a time scale of when you'd like to be doing things like this?
I want to go to Japan next year or the year after.
Yeah,
like I want to do it soon. You know what I mean? I'm quite impatient like that, and I think that's like a kind of a downfall because I'm really like oh, I want to do it now. You know what I mean? Like, instead of it being like, no, I can wait for a bit. Like, there's guys that I know that are like, no, I'll do that when it comes. I'm like, I need it now.
Have you, I mean, and don't feel you have to answer this, but I mean, have you sort of tentatively met? Because obviously, there's New Japan,
yeah,
which is massive.
Yeah.
And there's no guarantee, like, anyone who gets on the New Japan roster is tremendously lucky, right? As well as being talented.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
There's only a limited amount of people they can have.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, Will Ospreay is there and is wonderfully talented and deserves to be there, yes. 100%.
Absolutely.
But he's also, he's lucky to be there because,
oh, yeah,
you know, if you look at when they're doing Super Juniors and stuff like that, there's not loads of room on the roster.
No.
You know, they've got their guys already, they've got American guys they already use, they've got the partnership with Ring of Honor, which means there's certain guys they have to use out of that. So, you know, he's done tremendously well to be in that position and, you know, deserves every single bit of it. But it does, like with me in comedy, always there's sometimes it's right place, right time, and then cool stuff just tends to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, have you tentatively made inquiries with other companies in Japan and sort of, because I know there's other ways in, so you look at, like, Joe Coffey went out there and wrestled for smaller companies in Japan, and Jack Gallagher went out and wrestled.
Yeah,
and wrestled out there, and that, so there are other ways.
Yeah.
So, do you look at that as you weigh in, or is it just trying to go straight to the top?
No. I want to go in and go and train at a dojo and stuff like that as well, and go and do it right the way through. You know, I want to go through the system like that. It's always like intrigued me. It's funny because I was speaking to Will this weekend. We're good friends, but we don't get to see each other much.
Mm.
So whenever we do, we always we just cuddle and talk.
He is. It was super nice when we did our Brixton show. He just tweeted a picture of it and said, I wish I was there. And I was already quite emotional anyway.
Yeah.
But Will's a huge part of our company.
Oh, yeah,
and,
absolutely.
But also he's a mate.
Yeah.
But he's because he's so much younger than me.
Yeah.
He's both a mate and like a weird quasi-son. In that, like, I love him to bits. But, and I've never had to, I don't feel I've ever had to give him particularly fatherly advice or anything like that. But at the same time, it's like, I know I'm tons older than him, and I worry about him. Most of my conversations with him seem to be me going, make sure you have some rest.
I'm worried sick.
But he is, and this is the thing, what I think's lovely is, he's done great, but he's still giving it back, and it's proof of, you know, being nice works, because, you know, he's always talking up new talent. He's always talking up people that he wants to come, he thinks deserve to go out to Japan.
Yeah.
He's always watching other wrestling and saying, this was great, even if he's not involved.
Yeah.
And what a great attitude to have when you're, he doesn't have to do that.
No,
you know,
no,
he's
no,
already
no.
super successful now.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to do that, does it? Because he's a nice guy. And, you know, and I think that's cool. I mean, does the dojo training thing come from knowing that Devitt did it?
It's not from that. Like, I myself train a lot. I don't look in like the best shape probably, like compared to like a lot of their guys, but like I train like hard like that. Like I do 1,000 squats a day sometimes. Like every other day I try and do 1,000 squats a day now.
I mean, you do look in shape. Like, I mean, because you're not the tallest dude, so you're never going to be massive.
No.
But you look in the right shape, which is, you know.
In my head, I don't. Do you know what I mean? Like, in my head, I'm like, oh, I can look better. And da, da, da. But that's just, like, another thing. That's just me. But, like, so in my head, I'm like, oh, well, everybody else must think the same. And then they think nothing of it. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I train it, like, every day. I don't miss the gym. I bug people to come to the gym with me if we're on the road sort of thing. I'm like, oh, there's an hour here. We can go to gym. No, can we not? We're not going to sleep.
You need to have that dedication, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Some people are lucky and don't have to go to the gym.
Oh, I hate them people
so
much.
There's not many of them.
There's a lot of wrestling, I think, actually, where I look at them and they're like, oh, I'm like, oh, you know, how do you train? Like, what? And they're like, oh, I'll do about 3 days at the gym. I'm like, what the fuck? What? I do like 7 and they're looking up and like...
But I mean, were you... So when you were a kid, were you really into sport and fitness and stuff as a kid? Because what I've found talking to wrestlers is the amount of times, like, as kids, wrestlers were perhaps a bit chubby, and then and then all of a sudden went, I want to be a wrestler now, and they're in amazing shape. Like, that stuff blows my mind.
As a kid, I was, like, a little nerdy, little weirdo. Like, it was, like, a mad imagination, tiny, skinny, like, nothing to me. But I was just, like, I was into sports because my friends were. Mm. So it was just... So I had some friends, so I had someone to talk to, so I could just play football. I didn't like playing it, really. I don't really care about that sort of stuff, but I sort of did it, like, for the social thing.
Yeah.
Because, just what you do as a kid, you know what I mean? But like, I was never really that bothered about sports and stuff like that. I used to do drama in school and stuff like that.
Which I think works well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the character side of wrestling, even in, you know, independent wrestling where often storylines aren't as important, being able, as a promoter, being able to turn to someone and go, can you actually do this promo, is important. Yeah. Can you actually convey what we want you to convey with your face is important. And imagine, like you're saying, if you're an imaginative kid, imagination's important. Like, I look at Jimmy Havoc's a great example of this, as someone who is super imaginative and super good at coming to us and going, I've got an idea. And we'll either go yes or no, but you always, it helps if people have ideas because we can't come up with everything.
Even if it's not exactly what you like, you could think of something that branches off it. Absolutely. You're like, oh, well, that doesn't work, but maybe this does.
Mark Haskins is the same. He's great at coming up with ideas and you know, and lots of them. So, you know, we'll be able to run with one or we'll be able to put our own spin on it. And I think that is because you can really look after yourself and go to the gym and have a great body, and you can be really, really fundamentally sound in the ring, but you still need the other
something
stuff
about you. Yeah,
you need the other stuff. And I think it's hard to fall in love with wrestling if you're not bothered about the drama side of it.
Yeah,
just go and do MMA otherwise. Do you know what I mean? It always makes me think like that. So you've had just over two years of being.
Being a professional
wrestler. And there's a fair few places you work now, so.
Yeah, I'm jumping name places.
Real Smith.
The moment, like, I'm looking to be wrestling for, like, high profile promotions now within like PCW, ICW, Southside. There's a couple more companies that I'm in talks with at the moment that I'm not going to talk about just yet, obviously. But yeah, like, they're the ones I'm getting, like over the last, like, month or two, they've just given me a bunch of dates, like, for the rest of the year sort of thing, and I'm like, oh, cool, you know what I mean? So, and they give me good matches as well and stuff like that, so I can really showcase myself and, you know what I mean, work my
ass. But again, two years in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's great going, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and again, it's that thing of, obviously you're on a lot of people's radars because, if you throw yourself into something and you're dedicated enough to it, then people are going to pay attention and want to sort of have you around. I mean, where were you this past weekend?
Southside all weekend.
Which is, how many, just a lot of shows there?
We did four shows.
Yeah. And I know, because it was speaking this weekend, isn't it?
Yes.
Which I went to a couple of years ago and thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, it's always a good show, that.
I like Southside a lot. You know, Ben and that are good people.
Yeah. I think it's quite underrated, actually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I think it's underrated. Like, especially for the talent that they book. I got to wrestle Sami Callihan on Friday, and that's something that I wanted for so long. Mm. He's one of the guys that, when I started training, looked in Japanese wrestling, indie wrestling, Sami Callihan, I was like, this is something completely different. Like, this black hair, but he was like a shorter, thick dude who like could go and like, he does all this, like, he like spits on his hand and chops because, oh, it's disgusting, but it's like stuck out so much. And
yeah.
He's so brutal, and like, and I was like, oh, I really want to wrestle him one day. And then he went to NXT, and I was like, oh, I'm never going to wrestle him. And then he came out, I was like, ooh. And then Ben messaged me, oh, yeah, do you want to wrestle him? I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever, man. But he's like, yes.
He's a great dude.
Oh, he's absolutely genuine. He's really, really nice. I never met him until this weekend as well. Yeah. When I met him, he was just so nice.
When we had him at Super Strong Style this year.
Oh, you did, didn't you? Of course you did.
Just a lovely guy to have around. And again, we're like, before, it sounds really silly, before we book imports, we'll tend to ask people and go, are they a nice person?
Yeah.
Just don't want anyone who's not.
No, of course not.
And, and he, super nice, great to have backstage, everyone. And you get the feeling that he loves British wrestling as well.
Yeah.
Like, seemed to love everybody, was just excited to be in front
just
of British
cuddles everyone as well. He loves some person cuddling, do you know what I mean? Cuddling,
lovely dude. I mean, do you like, have you got sort of like a wish list of people you want to wrestle?
Yeah, absolutely.
And presumably he was on the list and he's one person you
the
can
top.
Go
to. He was like at the top of the list. Yeah. So I was like, I told him afterwards and told him before, obviously. I was like, we were just like talking and stuff like that. And then after the match, I was like, oh, I wanted that match. So he was like, oh, wow, really? And we like exchanged contacts, stuff like that. And send over some stuff to him. And he's going to look after me, I guess, as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's, I think he's very, when he was over with us, he was very keen to go, oh, have you guys thought about doing this and doing this and using this guy? And it's like, oh, you really just love wrestling and care about it.
Yeah.
I remember seeing him wrestle at Dragon Gate in 2012 on WrestleMania weekend. Mm-hmm. And he wrestled Sabu. And I told Sammy about it. I went, the last time I saw you wrestle in person, you were wrestling Sabu. And he just went, oh. I went, no, it was really good. He went, I just don't really remember the match. No, honestly, it was great because it was a weird crowd situation and everyone was super excited to see Sabu. But obviously, the Sabu that I remember being super excited about in 1998 is not the same. You know, obviously, he needs hip surgery at the minute. He's not.
Yeah.
You know, he's not the same wrestler. But they both really went at it, and I think that match ended up being good because Sammy was the one holding it together. Sammy was the one who went, do you know what? People have paid money for this.
Yeah.
I want to make the most of this. And it was on a show that already had lots of good wrestling on because it was a Dragon Gate show. So there was loads of really high paced stuff. It was something different and it was really, really good.
Yeah.
And you just get the impression that he's always took it really super serious. Mm-hmm. And it's you know, and again, I don't think he offers the offer of help that he's given you out to just anybody. I think, you know, if he sees something in someone, he's got a very good wrestling mind.
Yeah, yes.
Who have you ticked off the list so far? Who any prominent names that you're like, these people are on the list, and who have you sort of ticked off?
So Will, Sammy. To be honest, a lot of my dudes are British dudes as well.
No, that's fine.
Bubblegum, he's a... He helped me out as well. He's helped me out for quite a while now, and he's like,
he's a smashing lad, isn't he?
People like the Ben all messaged him and said, "Oh, I'm thinking of bringing your kid in for this Southside weekend." He went, "Who?" Because he's thinking it's PCW.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for, but you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
He goes, "Oh, Chris Ridgeway." And he goes, "Oh, right, okay." So, like, we just, because we're like best mates as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, you kind of forget that sort of side.
I think he lives near me, and he's someone else I want to have chat on here because I genuinely like him. And, you know, we've not used him loads on Progress, but whenever we do, he's always works his socks off. And when we've tended to give him younger guys, and he's looked after them and made them better and given them feedback. And he's someone I've got a lot of time for because he's just... And in terms of his in-ring work, just making you absolutely hate him, he's brilliant.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Like, he's one of the guys that I really learned a couple of things. A couple of things, like the main things I think about before I go out to wrestle. Two of the biggest things I learned of him was make sure he matches different to everybody else's. So what can I do that's going to be different to everybody else?
Which is great advice.
Yeah. And making everything look like you're in an actual fight. Yeah. Like, what would you actually do in this situation? So if someone throws this kick at me and I call him, what would I actually do with it?
Yeah.
Would I do this or would I do this? What would my character do this or this? You know what I mean? Like, really overanalyzing everything, but it becomes a better product at the end. You know what I mean? Instead of just going, oh, throw it down, punch them, and then what else would you do?
This is when William Regal came to our school and was talking to our trainees, and he was saying things that bug him in wrestling. And one of the things is just people kicking people in the stomach.
Yeah, yeah.
Which on video games is how you set up every finisher
in
a wrestling video game.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was like, why wouldn't I block it?
Yeah, yeah.
Why wouldn't I block it? And I think there's, certainly with companies like Evolve and people like Timothy Thatcher and Matt Riddle and people like that, I think the hybrid between MMA and shoot fighting and wrestling is becoming more and more pronounced. As more and more people go, Now, I kind of want that to look realistic. And obviously the influence of New Japan and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, and I think that's... It's great advice to give people because...
Yeah.
What always makes me laugh is if you go back and watch an old Ring of Honor DVD and when they used to have the sort of six-person all-trainee scrambles at the start of a show and it'd just be finisher. There's no one's countering anything. No, it's just, let's just hit everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's fine when you're brand new.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing that really gets you to the next level is thinking about the legitimacy of it and thinking about... And making things different is a huge thing that people don't...
Yeah.
No one wants to go to a show where everyone hits the same finisher.
No, of course.
Do you know what I mean? No one wants to go to a show where, or worse still, one of your sort of near fall setup moves is someone else's finisher.
Yeah, that's
being used later on.
Because like this happened a couple of times this weekend, like a couple of weekends ago as well. I remember seeing it on the show about three times. There was like someone would use the move as a finish, and then someone else would use it later as a. As a falsie, but then someone else would use it as like as the end of a comeback sort of thing.
Mm.
But it's like the dude who's won with it looks like he can hit it better than the other two dudes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So he's like he's perfected that move, and you two look like amateurs compared to him. You know what I mean? So yeah, if you look at it from that point of view, but I don't think fans would. I think fans would just be like, oh well, that was weird.
I think that's why you know obviously companies like WWE, that's why you've got an agent with every single match. Is you go and you can't do that. We started putting a list. Which it was Glenn's idea. We started putting a list of people's signature and finishing moves, just so people would start leaving some stuff alone, and it seemed to work. But again, it's extra admin, and most what people don't realise is most independent, certainly nearly every independent wrestling company in this country is run by a couple of people.
Yeah.
And it's like in the case of Southside, which is a wonderful company, I always love the fact that Ben obviously runs it and his wife helps out, and then Harry, his son, who is the single most polite young man I've ever met. What a smashing kid.
He runs around. 10 minutes before. 10 minutes before the show starts. 5 minutes before the show starts. One minute before the show starts.
There's no way that kid's... And I don't know if Ben or Harry listened to this, but there's no way that kid's not growing up and being a millionaire. No way in a million years. He's too... No, I look at... I've got nephews a bit older than him who's just lazy. And I look at him and go, oh, I wish I had that. I wish I had that spark when I was a kid because I didn't.
Yeah,
it took until I was in my 20s to have a spark about being interested in anything. Good lad. Who's on the list that you haven't wrestled yet? That you would like, and they can be as lofty goals as you want. Obviously, John Cena is clearly on there.
I've got him here next weekend. Actually, next weekend at Southside. Mark Hoskins, Zach and Marty. I've wrestled Marty in a 3-way, but to me that doesn't count. You know, I want like singles matches with people. I'm a singles wrestler.
If everyone needs a motto for life there, that's 3 ways don't count.
3 ways don't count. That's not love if it's a freeway, is it? You know what I mean?
No, it's not. I love that you've got rules for this as well.
Because
I'm the same. I've got like places I want to do gigs. But I've got to be paid to be there. It can't be like a charity gig.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't be doing an unpaid spot.
Yeah.
Like, so I didn't count doing the comedy store, for example, until I got paid to be there the first time. And I think that's good. It's good dedication to it. Is possibly an odd question for you. This is something that came about my chat with Zach Gibson, was that he's got sort of a notebook where he goes back through all of his old matches. And he's quite meticulous about it. Now, this was the first time I'd ever heard of anything like that. I mean, have you got anything like that with like either a list of goals or you've got sort of yourself going back through and...
Yeah, I've got... I'm a proper nerd like that. Like, I've got like... When I write down my dates, I have... So I've got like 1st of January, whatever, and then I've got who I'm against.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. My entire phone calendar is I know all my opponents that I've got coming up. I've got all the dates because so when I look back in a couple of years, I'm like, oh, I remember that match, that was fun. Instead of just being like, oh, I've got that book to there.
Makes sense.
I've got all that, but I've also got written down like dudes I want to wrestle. So if I had the thing with me now, I'd just be like, yeah, I want to wrestle. dudes I want to wrestle, places I want to wrestle. I've got like goals, stuff like that. But I also have the same thing of, I'm pretty sure it was Zach Gibson that said it once, which made me go, oh yeah, I should do that with a notepad and write things down.
Mm.
Pretty sure it was. Maybe it was Pip, I'm not sure. But yeah, I'll watch a match back and write down notes and stuff like that as well. What's going to say? I've completely forgotten what I was saying. What a terrible thing to do on the podcast. Just completely
it's quite right. It happens to me all the time. I mean, with how sort of prodigiously are you watching wrestling? I mean, because obviously...
I watch it every day. Like, what do you mean? Like, just any wrestling?
Just any wrestling?
Yeah, I watch wrestling every day. All the time.
Because that's... I think that's... Do you watch it still because you love it, or do you watch it because you're trying to get better, or is it a combination of the two?
You've got to watch it, one, just to know your product, to know what's working, what isn't, with, you know what I mean, like what people are doing, so I know what not to do, because I don't want to do the same as such and such person is doing, because then people are already paying to see that guy, so why would they want to pay to see me do a lesser version of that, you know?
Yeah.
But like when I watch a match now as well, if it's especially for something that if it was like Cruiserweight Classic had a lot of their matches where I was like, oh, that would be cool. So like Cedric versus Kota Ibushi.
Yeah.
So when I watched that match, I watched it first just to enjoy it as a fan. Then I watched the second and I watched it. Why do people react at these certain points? Like, how have they built this up for the people to react to?
Yep.
And then I take the notes down the third time around. So I watch it like three times. I watch it straight after each other because that's like ridiculously boring. Yeah. But like, I watch it like, oh, like the coming weeks. So I watch it as a fan first. Then I'll go back to it like, why do people react to that? And then the third time, Dexter Nostan and stuff like that.
Makes
and
sense.
Try and like apply it to like, not what they're doing, but like the rules of like the structure and stuff like that to what I'm doing.
Going, when you said that you, on your calendar, you have who you're wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know how progress works is we email people a week before the match and go, this is what we want out of this. We trust you to work it out.
Yeah.
This is who's going over. That's basically it. Yeah. And if there's any storytelling we need you to tell, we tell you about it.
Yeah.
But as a rule, we leave it to you and a senior wrestler that we'll have do it, be an agent.
Yeah.
So that's how we do it. Because we're not wrestlers, don't want to tell you how to wrestle.
Okay.
But say you look at your diary and you go, I'm wrestling wrestler X on Friday.
Yeah.
How much do you think about that in the sort of time leading up to it?
Oh yeah, when I'm travelling to the venue, I'm like, all right, what can I do this? I always know what they do. I always want to check people out as well. Even if I haven't seen them before or something like that, I'll go and hunt down some footage or something so I can watch them and see how they move, what they do and what they're about, sort of thing. Just so I can put some ideas together. Because I think it's hard when, if they haven't done it to me, like, I don't care. I'm not going to be like, oh, well, you should have. Like, at least I've got something down, you know what I mean? So, say if it was me and your wrestler, I've watched your stuff already and I could be like, all right, so you do this and I could do this, which could, we could play off this as well, you know what I mean? It just makes it, I don't think it's life be easier. Then you can, then once you've got the ball rolling, you can't not come up with new ideas, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it always astonishes me because you will get certainly more senior wrestlers who'll just literally turn up and go, "Am I wrestling?"
Yeah,
what? Yeah. No, that's not how it works.
Maybe one day I'll be like that, but I can't see.
We'll call it in the ring.
Yeah, yeah.
Be fine.
I don't mind calling and stuff, but like I like to at least know what they're doing. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I like to at least know how they work and stuff like that. I've checked them out.
Do you still get nervous?
If there's a lot in it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't get nervous. On the way to the venue, I'm fine. 10 minutes as we're about to pull up to the thing, I got mad anxiety before I'm about to meet everybody.
Yeah.
Go shake everyone's hand, I'm fine. And then...
So there's more anxiety about meeting people than...
No, I don't know what it is. I just get like, proper like, oh, I need to get in there. Once I'm in there, I'm fine. I just settle back down again. But I start getting dead fidgety, moving around. People are like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm just... It's hot. Hot and bothered. I don't get nervous for matches, but I don't want... I get excited.
Mm.
But like, I said that to someone, I don't want to get that nervous anymore because I'm confident in what I'm about to do sort of thing. Unless there's a lot to remember. But some people see that as like, oh, you must not care then.
Yeah.
I was like, well, not really. I get more excited and a bit anxious sort of thing, but it's just I'm so excited to go and like wrestle and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But people are like, oh, if you're not nervous, then you mustn't care. That doesn't really make sense to me, you know what I mean?
I mean, I still see... I think different things in wrestling can make people nervous. So we can have... I've seen in progress shows, people who are super confident in the ring, terrified of doing a promo.
Yeah, sure.
So terrified, because... And I always forget, because it's my job, that public speaking is genuinely terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, I don't... Like Brixton, I didn't even work out what I was going to say until I got in the ring.
Yeah.
And then I had to do a speech about the history of the company, and it's like,
right,
I'll figure it out, but that's my job.
My job talking is my job.
So I get, whereas if ever I'm involved in the finish of a match, I am terrified,
right,
because I don't want to get that wrong, because that's not my world.
Yeah.
And I do think it's always I've always found it interesting what some people, there's people who've been wrestling over a decade who are still nervous wrecks before a match.
Yeah.
And then there's people who've been wrestling a year who are like, just take it in their stride. I think it's different people's reactions to anxiety is...
I get nervous, I guess, like when I'm wrestling people that I am close to, because I'm like the friend, and like I don't want to like do something wrong, let them down, and like bring their match down. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I
get nervous if it was to get nervous, it'd be for that sort of reason, or if it's like a brand new promotion that's like I'm debuting versus, like, I remember I was nervous for ICW when I was first there, in PCW, you know, like the bigger ones like that. Not to be ignorant to like any promotions that draw less fans, I have less. I feel more like comfortable, like.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, it's the same in any...
Bit pressure, I guess.
It's the same in any walk of life. Like when I started stand-up, I was working lots, but the people I wanted to work for the big clubs. And I think it's... the first gigs I always did for those places, I was always more nervous because there's more riding on it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't ever want it to be that you go somewhere and you wrestle for them once and you're never back again.
Yeah.
You want to, you know... And I would imagine as a wrestler, if you can say, I work for these big companies in the United Kingdom, then it helps you fill the rest of your diary because you've already, you know, you're already in the public eye, as it were.
Yeah.
And it also means that there's going to be eyes on you overseas because those shows do tend to have more import on or whatever. Certainly PCW is a great way of sort of,
definitely.
And Southside as well, you know, use imports very effectively. Mm-hmm. I always get accused of being anti-import because we don't use them very much. It's just, it's a different philosophy, you know.
Yeah.
As a fan, I've been to Southside shows and PCW shows and I've had a belting time because they're great companies. I'd go to Rev Pro shows if I could, but they're always on Fridays. Fridays and Saturdays and I'm working. But, you know, I think the opportunities to sort of cross paths with people like that. And presumably you've got a list of promotions that, obviously, you've hit some of them already, but then there's obviously some that you'll want to work for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going forward.
Yeah.
You know, and
absolutely.
It's good to have those goals. Yeah. On a slight tangent, different question. You're a tattooed man.
I am a tattooed man.
I'm a tattooed man. I'm always astonished when someone of your age is as tattooed as you are. Because
I haven't actually had a tattoo in about 18 months, so I was this tattooed when I was like 21.
See, I used to do tattoo conventions. I used to work at them because I used to write for a tattoo magazine.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm moderately... I've got two arms and most of my legs and my chest and that done.
Yeah.
But you'd see 19-year-old kids who'd have, like, two full sleeves, their neck, all their hands done, and I'd be you're 19. Like, you're 19. How? And this is a question about tattooed wrestlers, right? Because your tattoos are excellent.
Thank you.
So you've got tattoos.
I've got a bit here, actually, which obviously I can't hear on the podcast. I can't see, sorry. But the ink won't go in there, that little
on
bit
your finger.
There.
Fingers
it just
are
keeps
hard, mate.
Coming out. Everywhere else is fine, but there's just this bit, and I've had it redone six times, and so I'm just giving up.
It actually, because it's a skull, isn't it?
It doesn't actually...
It actually makes it look quite cool.
Right, yeah, I thought that. I was like, after a while... But it's for the unlucky 13 on it as well, which I thought, how ironic is that? That it won't go in. So it's unlucky and everything else. So I was like...
It's an omen, mate.
There's something happening there, and all those fingers are...
So I look at tattooed wrestlers,
yep.
The ones that pop straight into my head, yourself, Tommy End, T-Bone.
Yep.
And as a rule, I think the thing that unifies all of your tattoos is your tattoos, beautiful as they are still vaguely intimidating and of a theme, right? I, as a tattooed man, there's many reasons I can never be a wrestler. Lack of coordination or being in shape are two of them. But my tattoos are uniformly quite stupid. You know, all video games on one arm, Ron Burgundy on my arm.
The first one when I saw, I think it was like one of the like first progress shows or something like that, and it was the picture. And I think you were announced it, and I saw the big Ron Burgundy tattoo, and I was like, that's really cool. But I would never think to get something like that. But I love Ron Burgundy, I love Anglans.
Yeah. Oh, it's literally the greatest one.
But I'd never think to get like a tattoo like that.
But like having like a straight edge Hello Kitty and stuff and lightsabers on my fingers, they're all dumb.
Yeah.
Have you got any tattoos that are daft, that are legitimately silly, rather than... Because there's probably meaning behind them. And it's like, there's meaning behind all of mine, and people presume, Pac-Man Ghost, there can't be meaning behind that. It's my first childhood memory. It genuinely is meaning. You know, but... Have you got anything that's properly daft?
I've not got anything properly daft, but I've got this little dinosaur on my thumb here.
Oh yeah, pterodactyl.
But It wasn't. I wanted it because I love dinosaurs. I absolutely love dinosaurs. I'm massive nerd for it. I've got a big dinosaur here as well.
Which is perfect, exactly. Everyone loves dinosaurs.
I absolutely love them. I think they're the coolest thing ever. But it's not daft. But when I fly it like this, by flexing my thumb.
He's flying the dinosaur with his thumb.
So what I'm doing is I'm straightening and bending in my thumb, and it makes it look like the pterodactyl's flapping its wings. So sometimes I'll go, the people point out my tattoos and they go, what do they mean? And that to me is the most annoying question ever, because I have so many tattoos I can't be able to explain what they all mean. We don't have 3 days to talk about it, do you know what I mean? So like I'll just go, and I'll pull my thumb out and I'll just flap. I'll just flap my pterodactyl and it'll fly away. And then I'll just look at them until they react. And then they either think I'm weird. Oh, they think I'm weird. This really is.
It is annoying that the whole, because I get the whole, what do they mean? And it's like, I did a whole like Edinburgh show about what they mean.
Yeah.
Like, either go and buy them or I can't be bothered.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They do all mean something. Ron Burgundy means slightly less, but the rest of them do
mean
something.
Ron Burgundy means a lot. It means a lot to me.
As luck would have it, I think it, me and my wife have probably watched Anchorman together around about 100 times since we got together.
Yeah.
But like they all mean something to me.
Yeah.
And it'll be the same with your tattoos. Mm-hmm. Do you also get, and it's probably more likely to happen to you because you're in shape and often shirtless as a wrestler, do you ever get people just touching your arms because they think it's all right because you're tattooed?
Yes, absolutely. It's
so annoying.
The weirdest one was I was on a plane. I was wrestling in Sweden. I was on a plane. I've got a funny story about Sweden, actually. I was on the plane, and a woman. I'd not spoke to her. We was on the plane for about an hour and a half, which is weird because it wasn't when I sat right next to her. Mm. If I sat down right next to her and she went, "Oh, you got tattoos?"
Yeah.
Then I'd be like, "All right, cool."
I'll have kids stare at mine on planes.
Yeah, but if it's straight away, then that's fine. But it's like an hour and a half into this flight, and I'm sat there, and I'm like nearly nodding off, and she just grabs my hand. And she just grabs it and she like just holds it and looks, and I'm just like looking at her. She's not looking at me, just staring at my hand whilst holding it. I'm like, you don't know me. Like, that's a strange thing to. And then she just goes, oh, nice. And gives me my hand back and then just goes back onto a book. I was like, oh, well, I don't want to fall asleep now next to this person in case. Like, so I just stayed awake. Like, I was absolutely knackered. But I was just like, what a strange thing.
It is yeah. Odd because, like, I've seen people do it to all the wrestlers, and I've seen like people do it to my wife because she's as tattooed as me. And yeah. It's like, stop it.
Yeah.
I like my tattoos, but and I'm proud of them, and I feel a more complete person for having them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, stop grabbing my arms.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't like being touched by strangers as it is. Like
which I'm, is fair enough. Yeah. You know, like, you're allowed to not want that.
It makes me sound like a monster when I said it, but then when I hear that sentence back, it's like, that's no one likes being touched by strangers.
That's absolutely fine.
What's your Sweden story?
Right, so I was in Sweden. Big dude called Matthias brought me over, and he's lovely, and I think he's great. Not really, really nice dude. And so I've wrestled this show, and at the start I went Denmark and Sweden are next door neighbours, and then I'm a baddie there. I like to call it baddie. I don't like heel and villain. I'm a baddie.
I like blue eye. I love that. Yeah. I love that.
Hey, you're a blue eye. but I'm a. And then everyone went, what's up, Denmark? And they all booed the hell out of me. I thought it was still funny because it was such a lame joke. But afterwards, I find out that we are wrestling above a Swedish Latino mafia bar. So they're legit like...
The well-known Swedish Latino mafia.
Yeah, the fun thing, like, I didn't even know that was a thing ever. And afterwards, he's like, oh, we're going to this after party, because they all speak American. For some reason, they're all South America. Like, hey, we're going to go to this after party.
Whenever I've gigged in Denmark, I've eaten Denmark and Norway, never Sweden, and yeah. I've always been astonished at the American accent.
How American is it? I'm just like, oh, are you from America? Like, no, I'm from here. I'm like, you sound like you're not from here. Like, don't make it like there. So I went into this bar. So I'm like, I don't drink, really. I don't smoke. I don't do anything. I'm just such a boring person. But I'm there with my little thing of strawberry milk. Not even protein shake. Strawberry milk. With my gear bag. And I walk into the thing. And like, the venue is literally like a door. And then it's the club.
Yeah.
So I walk in with the thing. And I walk in with strawberry milk. And I look around. And there's like women everywhere and stuff like that. And there's like all these dudes that look like so stereotypically Latino mafia. Like they've got like a white top underneath, and they've got the top button of the checkered shirt. Don't know, they've got a bandana with their head, and they've got their head tattooed, and they got their, and they're all like, hey man, what's going on? I'm like, Jesus fuck.
You walk into the plot of Grand Theft Auto.
I've just walked into San Andreas, but I was just like, so like, there's this dude who's like, hey, I didn't find your Denmark joke funny. He's like looking at me with his psycho eyes. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, oh, strawberry milk in my hand, like, oh. what am I like? You know. So they're like, do you want a drink? I'm like, no, I'm alright. I don't drink, thanks. He's like, with his nose. I'm like, oh my god. I'm like, oh, I'm really tired. It's like 10 at night. I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. I had like a really good night's sleep. But I'm really tired. I might go back to the room. So that was an experience. But it was just like, there was like a really big long table, and they were all like sat around that, and then. It was quite insane. It was like walking like just from a normal venue, which is like a really bog standard venue, into like a movie.
Just imagine what it's going to be like when you go to Japan and you have the sponsors there who haven't got their little fingers anymore.
Yeah, but at least I'm prepared for that. I've already heard the stories and stuff like that. You've never heard of them Swedish Latino mafia.
Have you been overseas much? I always think it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to get that experience when you've only been going a couple of years. And again, it's testament to your reputation and your skills that you're getting invited overseas.
I've done all over Britain. I've done Denmark and Sweden a couple of times each. And now I'm about to do Italy in December. And I went, when I got booked for Italy, I went to mom. I got booked in Italy. I said, oh, that's cool. I went, yeah. Going to have to learn how to speak Latin, though, Anna. And she went, what? And I went, Latin. And she went, no. And I went, well, that's what people from Italy speak. She was like, no, they don't. They speak in Italian. And I was like, is it not Latin? This is like a month ago. I thought Italian speaking people spoke Latin. I don't know why. But I think it's because in my head, in China, for example, in China, they don't speak Chinese. They speak Mandarin. It's just a different word. And Latin kind of is like Italy, right? So in my head, I was like, oh, that must mean that. But it doesn't.
Right. If any of you listeners are posh enough, tweet me and Chris. What's your Twitter handle, Chris?
Chris X Riddy.
Right, tweet me and Chris in Latin. There's going to be people posh enough that they studied Latin at school.
Yeah.
Just tweet us in Latin. Don't tell us what it's about. I mean, ideally say, I enjoyed Choosing Not Joe this week, but just tweet us in Latin. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm a working class lad from Leicester. I have no concept of Latin at all.
It'd be great if you could, because I'm going to Italy soon and I need to know
how to speak to people, if we could cobble together some kind of I wish your mum had never told you and you turn up there.
Oh, she made me believe I was half Jewish for 10 years because she plays jokes on me and she made me believe it. You didn't start coming, did you? No, she made me believe I was half Jewish for 10 years. I found out when I was 20 that I'm not half Jewish. So when I was 10, right, I don't know my dad.
Also, Hebrew tweets are now accepted.
I don't know my dad. I'm not sympathetic. Like, I don't care. Like, to me, I'd make so many jokes about it anyway. So, like, this isn't it. Right. That. But you need to know that for the story. And she goes, I was like, oh, mum, am I religious? So I was like 10. So, like, mum, am I religious? And she goes, yeah. Well, your dad's Jewish and I'm not. So, you're half Jewish. I was like, oh, okay. I'm 10. So, I'm like, yeah, cool. But then she just never tells me that, no, I'm not. And we're talking, like, me and my mum, my friends, I think it was like a house party, that's what we've been back when I lived in Barrow. And something was said, and I went, oh, da, da, da. Oh yeah, well, because I'm half Jewish, aren't I? And she goes, huh? And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm half Jewish. She goes, how can you be half Jewish? No, you're not half Jewish. What do you mean half Jewish? And I went, you told me, but so I've learned a lot about Jews, by the way, like, since then. Like,
I love the idea of you sitting there at the age of 11 or 12 learning about your heritage.
In school, like, when it was like Aryan, like, they talk about, like, you know, like, Jews and Jewish people, and I'd be like, set up, oh, this is me, guys, I'll get my notes together. I never really told anyone I was half Jewish, because I didn't know if people were or not, so I didn't know how. You could tell, you know, like, so I was a really stupid kid, really.
What I love is your mum is a joker, but she did not give you the opportunity to go to Italy with only Latin as your weapons.
I'd have learned loads of Latin as well, and speaking of Latin to them.
Oh my god. Your mum's ace.
She's a terrible human being.
It does sound like your mum's been most supportive of your wrestling, though.
She'd have to be, isn't she? She doesn't like it. She doesn't like that wrestle. She's like,
Has she watched you wrestle?
Through artists like this, where you put your hands over your eyes, and yeah, a couple of times like in Barrow, but not loads.
Because I always like there's certain weirdly through being a wrestling promoter, there's parents I got to know. So Tyler Bates' mum, who most people know, she's lovely. Will Ospreay's dad,
yep.
And it's, I think that's quite. But every now and again, we'll maybe do a progress show where. Someone's parent will come for the first time. So Laura Di Matteo, who is Italian, speaks Latin. Her mum came over from Italy because Laura moved to Laura moved to Britain to train to be a wrestler, which is a tremendous dedication.
Oh, that's another one. Cool.
And her mum came over to watch her wrestle, and her mum didn't speak any English. Right. And her mum kind of was, you could see, was really proud of her daughter, but at the same time had no concept of what she'd got. It was very much like, hang on a minute. My dad's a great example. My dad came to the Brixton show.
Yeah.
And me and my dad have loads in common, especially to do with comedy. He loves comedy, loves football. Took me to football for years. Used to drive me to gigs when I started doing stand-up. Doesn't really get the wrestling.
Right.
Doesn't. And the best compliment I got off my dad in a long time was him giving me a hug after the Brixton show, going, "It's quite special, isn't it?" And I was like, oh, he gets it. Because he gets what we're about. Even though
that's cool.
I could see where he was sat for the entire show, and he did have that look of, is this on for another couple of hours? Because it's wrestling. He doesn't get it. But your mum's the reason you're interested, though, isn't she?
She let a 4-year-old kid watch it as well. But back when they used to Blade all the time and just like Blade. So I was like, oh, whoa, that looks really cool. Look, The Rock's bleeding. How cool is that?
Final thing, I'm going to ask about injuries, because a couple of years, presumably you've stayed healthy for most of that.
I've had quite a few injuries, actually.
Seriously?
Yeah, I've got my shoulder. I've dislocated the shoulder a couple of times, and now this bone just sticks out. Probably should get that seen too, but it should be fine.
Marty Scurll has a similar thing. He's got a sticky,
it's not as bad
he's got,
as
he's got a sticky up.
But yeah. It's not as bad as that, but yeah. But it's not level. When you look at my shoulder, it's one sort of drops a little bit. I've taken quite a few nasty knocks to the head and stuff like that as well. But that comes with the style that I do. But I'm never going to be probably one day I'll dial it down a bit. But for now, while I'm still I'm fine. Do you know what I mean?
I think the important thing is, and this is something that came to light with Sebastian being knocked out in the ring for us, is not rushing back. I think you've, whilst concussions are scary things.
Yes.
And from my, so we did, when we did our Brixton show, and I don't know if you were on the PCW show the day before, but Rob Lynch from the London Riots.
Yes, I was on that. I watched that actually, yeah.
Got kicked in the eye.
I saw that.
Legitimately kicked in the eye. By accident, by Jack Evans. My big concern when Rob texted me and said, I'm a bit hurt, wasn't, oh God, what if we can't use him? Because we always have a contingency. We had the contingency in place if the Riots couldn't perform. And it wasn't, his eye didn't look pretty, because you can swell something in and go down. My big concern was, is he concussed? And I spent most of the time before the show in Brixton just going up to Rob and just having casual chats with him.
Yeah.
Because I'd read up on how to spot if someone's concussed.
Right, okay.
And he was jolly and happy and wasn't confused and was fine.
Because he didn't really get kicked, it was right in the eye as opposed to the head, wasn't it? It wasn't
I know he felt really woozy straight after it. So my initial concern is, if he's concussed, he's definitely not wrestling. You can wrestle with a slightly dodgy eye.
Yeah.
You can't wrestle with a concussion.
Yeah.
And I think that's the important thing to say to people is, and you strike me as a sensible lad. I like to think if you've been hit in the head, even though it sucks, you still take some time off to try and recuperate. That face says I love wrestling. And this is the problem we have as promoters, is I never want to put anyone in the ring who's not 100%. But equally, I'm aware that if I decided Rob Lynch was concussed and I said, Rob, you're not wrestling today, you and JD will take you off the show because you're concussed.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that I would have got more grief from him for doing that than letting him wrestle.
Yeah.
Which puts us in a difficult position, because often you guys will not necessarily be 100% truthful with us over injuries, because you want to wrestle more than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a difficult position to...
There's been a couple of times where I've been like that, where I've took a bad head knock or something, and I've been like that. Or like an injury or something. Are you okay? So, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. Because I just want to wrestle. Do you know what I mean? I don't know, people go, oh, what about when you're older and you're old, man? It's like, I'll be able to say, oh, I did all this cool stuff. Do you know what I mean? So I'm I'm really not bothered about when I'm
I think
old
there is also the long-term culture of wrestling is, I'm fine, I'll carry on. I know that... And often I won't find out about it, so I'll find out that someone's got knocked in the head pretty bad during one of our matches.
Yeah.
And I'll find out afterwards, and they'll be like, I don't remember that. And I'm like, why don't you say we would have stopped the match? And I'm like, not stopping the match. And unfortunately, because I'm not a wrestler, I don't always know when you guys are hurt. There's been times when we thought people were really badly hurt, and they're just really good at selling.
Yeah, they're just fine.
And then there's other times when, I've seen people get hurt, and I've gone over and gone, we can stop. And they're like, no, No, it's fine. And it puts, because the first people to get grief, unfortunately, in these situations are the promoters and not wrestlers. But
it's a bit daft, really, because it is on us. I got my jaw snapped about.
Because you said you clicked your jaw at the start of the podcast.
When I woke up, my jaw locks as well because it got snapped. I got kicked one side of my face and the other side, the jaw popped out. So it popped out during that, so my jaw was sideways, but I just finished it up just because I'd never ever go, well, I would if it was worse than that, but it's only my jaw. But I just finished up the match anyway. And then deal with it afterwards. Do you know what I mean? But like, I'd never want to be like, oh no, that's it. Because then I think the fans would be uncomfortable and stuff like that, and I wouldn't want. It sounds such a weird mindset to have, and I realise that. Like when I say that things like that out loud, that's such a strange thing. It says like, "Oh, my jaw broke," but I wouldn't want anybody else. I'd just rather carry on and be injured backstage rather than the fans be like.
Have you ever had to stop a match?
If I've been hurt or something, I'll just maybe like cut it short a bit.
Yeah.
But I've still like finished it. So it's a 1-2-3. And I just go backstage, and that's backstage. And
what's your pain threshold like? Because I know I tend to presume, as a rule, when people have got tattoos, their pain threshold's quite high.
Yeah.
Because they're not fun. Like,
I've got quite a high one. I used to do a lot of jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, karate. I'm a brown belt, second grade dan in karate, and I've got I'm fine. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've sparred with a lot, and I've done, so I've taken a lot of knocks, and I've, you know what I mean? So I've looked after myself, and I'm fine.
Because is there anything, though, like, and this is probably a weird question, like, I'm covered in tattoos, couldn't have a piercing. Like, genuinely couldn't. Like, I'm scared. Yeah. I'm scared of needles.
Yeah.
Like, which people
go. I'm scared of needles. I don't like. But yeah, so I get someone was like, "How are you scared of needles?" You got to say, "It's not a needle. It's a little scratchy thing.
It's not a needle. It's not a needle.
It doesn't go through your skin into your vein or something."
My wife's got tunnels in her ears, and I'd love to have that because it can fit how I look.
Yeah.
But there's no.
Yeah.
No, nothing's going through one side of my skin and out the other side.
Not the same thing at all. Absolutely isn't.
But is there anything like pain wise that you're like, oh, absolutely not? Because I know some people. My knees are bad, and I'm really sensitive about my knees. And like, if anyone even just slightly knocks my knee, I'm in agony. But is there anything with you where you're like, I'm avoiding that side of pain?
No,
forever.
Not really. No, I've had a funny injury.
Yeah.
Training in the gym. Now this is a bit explicit, actually. I can mention it. It's an 18 plus.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I'll put the little explicit E on iTunes, so we'll be alright.
That was fine then. It's funny this. So I was training just in the gym, and I was doing like raises, which do your abs.
Yeah.
And so you've got on a dude's body, well, anyone's body, you've got like the V lines there, right?
Yeah.
And it connects right to your penis.
Yeah.
Right? So there's like the ligaments there. Here you can see where this is going. So there's the ligaments there.
Yeah.
And I actually pulled one of them. So I pulled my dick ligament. So like, I was in pain for like about a month. For like, it was horrible. So it was just like, it was just like solid, not ridiculous, but the ligament itself was just like solid and in pain. It's like walking was horrible and like that hurt as well.
Were you wrestling at the time? Did you wrestle with a strained dick
ligament? I wrestled with a strained dick, brother. I mean.
I like to think your autobiography one day will be called Chris Ridgway and I strained my dick ligament.
Mad as fuck. Oh. I saw a strained dick and everything. Honestly, but I've never experienced pain like it because it's so uncomfortable. But I don't know anybody else that's ever had it like that. You know what I mean?
Tweet Chris.
Yeah, if you have, please, can we talk about it.
Hashtag Tuesday Night Joe, hashtag dick I ligament. Have strained my dick ligament. There's about to be someone.
Yeah.
All these people going, oh, I want that V at the bottom of my stomach.
Don't, you don't want it that much, trust me.
Yeah.
Two other exercises. I don't know what, I think I just like, maybe it's too fast or like, I just, a bit of an awkward thing. I was like, oh, that hurt a bit. Carried on, and I thought I was fine. Woke up the next morning in absolute agony. It was the worst thing ever. But, yeah.
Oh, God.
Couldn't lie in my front rages as well. So.
Oh, God. Just the thought of it's horrible.
Yeah.
Good. That's the best place for us to end. Strained dick ligament. Plug some things. So you mentioned your Twitter before. Mention your Twitter again, so people have got it.
My Twitter is Chris X Riddy. My Instagram is Chris Ridgway 1. I've got a Facebook one, but that's so boring. I don't use it. Do you know what I mean? Like a like page.
You're quite good at Twitter, though.
I have fun on Twitter. I like talking to people on Twitter.
Well. And off the top of your head, do you know where you are this weekend? Because this will be out today. So where are you this weekend?
Where am I this weekend? Oh, yeah. Hope wrestling in Mansfield on Friday, and I'm back in my hometown in Barrow and Furness on Saturday, actually.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to go see my friends as well while I'm up there, so yeah.
Cool.
That's just this weekend, yeah.
Do you know your wrestling? Because you've said you're encyclopedic about this.
Yes, I've got Ryan Smile on the Friday and Drew Parker on the Saturday.
Oh, excellent.
Drew's one of my close friends, so yeah.
Good. Well, listen, thanks for being part of this, and let's let everyone just think next time they look at your stomach or your torso in general that you
the sacrifice,
everyone now eh? Knows now knows. We could play Creed's My Sacrifice
just whilst, about my penis.
Whilst thinking about Chris's dick ligament.
No, but thank you for having me on. I appreciate it a lot.
No, thanks dude.
Thank you.
So that was me and Chris Ridgway having a chat in his kitchen. His dog remained outside the kitchen. He's got a very cute dog who I was very excited to see because I'm not allowed a dog in my own house because my wife's allergic. Anyway, hope you enjoyed that chat. Don't forget, he is Chris X Riddy on Twitter. Do follow him. Do check him out if he's wrestling near you. He's a smashing young man. I'm sure big things will be coming his way. He's got the right attitude, which is always a big thing. Really committed to wanting to be a good wrestler. And he's clearly making waves just looking at the amount of people who are booking him. So good for Chris. Nice to meet him. Hopefully our paths will cross again soon. Don't forget, Tuesday Night Joy is part of the Distraction Pieces Network. Scroobius Pip's wonderful Distraction Pieces podcast has Jack Gallagher coming up either this week or next week. He did mention it on the roundtable last week, so obviously make sure you listen to that, and indeed go back and listen to Pip's huge archive of people from every single walk of life. It's a fantastic podcast. I think, for my money, the best podcast in the entire world. And I'm biased. My podcast is on his network. I know I'm biased. Pip's a mate. But it is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. He's had some brilliant chats with loads of different people, so make sure you check that out. And of course, the other podcasts on the Distraction Pieces Network, there is Say Why to Drugs and there is Stop and Search, both sort of drug-based podcasts, but are really, really interesting. Even for someone like me, who is straight edge, and you know, you might think, oh, Jim's anti-drugs. I'm kind of not. I'm just straight edge for my own reasons. So do check those podcasts out. They're both great as well. And just support the Distraction Pieces Network because it's growing and growing and growing because of you guys. Obviously, if you want to tell people about this podcast, jimsmorman.com/TNJ. Point people in that direction. I am at Jim Smorman on Twitter. If you're ever tweeting me about wrestling, please use the hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw because I get a lot of other tweets to do with comedy or mainly abuse about football, if I'm being honest. And I'd like to know whether or not what I'm talking about when the tweets come through because I get quite a few. And once again, my wrestling company, ProgressWrestling.com. All their shows are up at demand-progress.com and my stand-up special, jimsmorman.com/mygirls. There is a trailer up there now about me telling a story about my daughter's love of Metallica. If you want to go and watch that and, you know, spread the word. If you already downloaded it and enjoyed it, thanks. Keep spreading the word. If not, you know, if you want to throw $5 this man's way to watch my heart and soul be poured out on stage, then one would be most grateful. Tell you what I am grateful for. Dead grateful for you guys listening. Super grateful that we've been doing this since April and it still seems to be really, really popular. I'm going to still try and give you an episode every single week. There'll be a roundtable next week, I believe, discussing the SmackDown pay-per-view as my phone decides to go off at this point. So I'm going to go because I'm with my phone. But love you guys and I'll see you next week. All right, ta-ra.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.